Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Going on, y'all, and thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm in here with the Halloween Howdy Cowboy himself, Kyle Felsine.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, happy Halloween. It's here this week. We got a lot going on this week. We have a special guest on the show with us today, our homie. Lon Strickler's going to be on.
Heck yeah.
We're going to be talking about flying humanoids, about his recent appearance on Unsolved Mysteries. Things like that. Man, that's a great series. I am a huge fan of Unsolved Mysteries ever since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
I hear the theme song. I get pumped every time Netflix, I'm glad they're revisiting and going and redoing stuff that they covered decades ago.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And one of the episodes on there is all about the Mothman and the second wave of
You know? It came out, in July? August?
Yeah.
Whenever he dropped all that off. Now, y'all are going to get to also hear how many stories he's received since then.
Since that aired.
Since that thing aired.
Which is what we always talk about on the show. Even on the last episode, the guy wrote in, he had debated writing it in for years about his not deer sighting. Mm-hmm. He finally did, and he feels better. And other people have come forward and told their tales. So the same kind of thing. People saw that Unsolved Mysteries, probably had no idea that there was a wave of flying humanoids around Illinois. Because how would you know? I mean, we know because we're psychopaths and we're looking for these kind of stories. But if you're just a normal person, the news doesn't cover stuff like that.
Right, if you're a normal person, right.
So they probably saw Unsolved Mysteries, saw Lon on there, and about the wave of flying humanoids, rode in. Because he's got hundreds.
And then he said a bunch from around the world. Not just here, but a bunch from around the world, too.
I think that podcasting is revolutionizing the paranormal field. You know what I mean? It's like, it's as important as the printing press.
Yeah.
Because now people connected. So much easier to be connected. And what somebody, say, in Poland thought that they were having a hallucination, turns out there's lots of people seeing the same thing. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Speaking of seeing crazy things, Gam, check this out. A Michigan man and his daughter were driving to a camping destination when they saw something strange in the middle of the road during heavy rainfall.
Uh-oh.
It says, I was on my way to go camping and had just crossed the Mackinac Bridge to get to Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Now, I want to keep in mind, the Upper Peninsula is where a lot of sightings of a particular cryptid go down. If you don't know, that's where a lot of dogman sightings happen for whatever reason.
A lot of creepy stuff hits the UP.
It says it was storming and just started pouring buckets of rain. It was the kind of rain that forces you to put the windshield wipers on full speed and you still have to slow way down and strain your eyes to see. While driving up a hill, my daughter and I saw a man standing in the middle of the road. There was not great visibility, like I said, with the sheets of rain, but we both pointed out the man standing in the middle of the road. We were worried that he might get hit by a car. He turned and bent, and then it was not a man. It was a huge black dog. We both thought it was a man at first, and then it was a dog. And I can't explain it. It could have just been the combination of looking up from the bottom of the hill and the rain. I just think it's odd that my daughter and I both thought we saw a man standing up at first, and then all of a sudden it was a dog. I stopped on the side of the road to help it, and so did a man on the other side in a truck. I am a dog groomer and always have slip leads in the truck. I love dogs and always stop to help them whenever I see one on the road. But I hoped that someone else would be able to help it because my truck was stuffed with camping stuff. And the only place it could go in my truck would have been in the front seat with my daughter and me. It was still in the middle of the road looking back and forth between the man and me. I was a bit surprised to see how big it was when I got up close. I also felt uneasy and intimidated by this animal. It looked almost like a black German Shepherd, only much bigger. But it was also kind of wolf-like. I've been around a lot of big dogs in my profession, and if I had to guess what breed it was, I would say a wolf hybrid for sure. The guy yelled over, asking if it was my dog, and I yelled back, "No!" The dog was still in the middle of the road, looking back and forth between the man and me. In my head, I was repeating, "Don't pick me. Don't pick me," over and over because I had no room in my truck and I didn't want a giant, strange, huge dog that I thought was a person at first next to my child, and it gave me the creeps. The man yelled, here, boy," patted his leg, and the dog ran off to him. Seeing the dog was being taken care of, I got back in my truck and got back on the road towards our camping destination. My daughter was telling me how it looked like a person standing in the road, and then when it turned, it was a dog. We were both very confused. If it had been just me, I would think it was the driving rain in my imagination. But my daughter saw it too. It may not be paranormal. It may have really just been a dog the whole time. I don't know. But it definitely was an interesting experience. Oh, man, that's pretty crazy.
Look in the rearview mirror to watch it murder the man.
Yeah, right.
And it just drags him down.
A few days later, in the paper, you find out that that guy was killed. You're like, oh, yeah, because he picked up the werewolf.
They got the werewolf.
Very cool.
He'd be giving up the werewolf. I asked Lon about this in the interview, folks, and I'm going to give you this story because it's extremely interesting to me. It says, I'm from Kentucky, and I live near the Red River Gorge geological area. Lots of wooded areas, and people love their guns, including me. Now, I used to not believe that there was unknown stuff in the woods. I mean, I thought maybe Bigfoot was real, but I really doubted it. And after this happened, I knew there was something unknown out there. I had just bought my first AR-15 style rifle.
Nice.
It was a Ruger AR-556 for anyone who cares, and I bought a 60 round drum magazine for it at Gander Mountain while they were going out of business. Reading up on the drum, I read that they were amazing and rarely had any issues at all. This will be important later. A few days after I got it, I finally decided to take it out for a test drive and sight in my gun with a little better. And here's where everything went crazy. Now, as I said above, Kentucky is super wooded. 3/4 of the land I lived on was just thick woods. There was a main path for driving our gator and a few small paths our cows had made in the woods. I decided to walk along our creek, which had a small path, half cleared out by the cows. At the end of the path is a big field our cows graze in and where I sight in guns when the cows aren't there. As soon as I crossed the fence to go to the field, I instantly felt like I was being watched closely. I brushed it off because I'd walked back there 1,000 times before and never been bothered by anything. So I keep walking and ignore the feeling of being watched. But at the same time, I'm still aware of the feeling. I know I feel like I'm being watched, but I wasn't giving it any noticeable attention. The walk to the field along the creek is very short, maybe 2 minutes at a slow pace. The further I walked, the more intense the feeling got, like I was getting closer to whatever was watching me. About halfway there, the feeling got so intense that I just couldn't ignore it anymore. The drum magazine I had with me was unloaded, so I stopped and started loading it. Now, I only brought 20 rounds with me because I was just going to sight in my gun, and 20 should have been plenty. So now, I'm stopped, paying extremely close attention to what's going on around me, and loading my magazine. The exact moment I started putting rounds into the drum, I smelled something dead. Like it had been dead for a while and rotting in the sun. I started looking around, and right behind me was what was left of a possum. It was torn to pieces. It was almost like it was placed there for me to find. The only thing was it looked like it had been dead maybe a day at most. and what I was smelling seemed like it was far more decomposed. This obviously didn't set well with me, so I double-timed it on the magazine loading. Now, I guess I should have taken the dead possum as a last chance to turn around. I decided to keep going. I'd never had any problems back there before, so I assumed my brain was just being paranoid. I was almost to the field when I saw it. I was at the end of the creek, and the feeling of being watched was unbearable. Just as I was near the end of the creek on the edge of the woods, I heard a splash in the water. Being on edge, immediately turned towards the noise, gun ready, but no round in the chamber. Walking down the creek away from me was something that I will never forget. At least 8 feet tall, probably taller, very skinny, imagine a grown man who weighs 120 pounds. Now stretch him out to be 8 foot tall, but his body width stays the same. Very long arms, and it walked on two legs. Skin stretched tightly across its body. It made no noise aside from the splash when it stepped into the creek while it walked. Now, it also had a very weird walk, almost like a waddle, but taking large steps. But that could have been because it was on a muddy creek bank. It was also a light brown color, almost like the color of a deer. That's all I can remember about it right now. Now, if I remember anything else, I'll add to it, but now, I know why I felt like I was being watched. Magazine loaded, bolt ready to send a round in the chamber. Remember what I said about the magazine being extremely reliable? I press the bolt release on the gun to chamber the round just in case this monstrous thing decides to attack. I did not intend on striking first. The round gets stuck somehow and doesn't even budge out of the magazine. I had never used that magazine before, so it didn't fail from heavy use. A bolt closing from a gun has enough force to break your finger. So why didn't this magazine work? My only guess is that the thing had something to do with it. The magazine never worked right again, and I had to return it to Magpul. Needless to say, I didn't tell them that this happened. I just told them the magazine failed several times. Anyway, back to the thing. Gun jammed on the first round, which is usually the easiest. The thing books it out of there without running or making a noise. I had just long enough exposure to it to get the details I have provided about it. Now, for assumptions, it happened to be in late May. I still have the emails from Magpul regarding the drum, so I'm using those as a reference because after this, I needed something reliable. As for what the creature was, a friend who knows more about this stuff than I do decided it could have been a Wendigo. The reason we think Wendigo is because everything I described matches them nearly perfectly. I had read that they are incredibly thin and tall, have a stench of death that follows them everywhere, which explains the possum smell. And they're very fast and can be several colors, light brown included, and they sometimes violently kill other animals to scare humans. The only thing that we couldn't come up with is its behavior. Why am I still alive? Wendigos are supposed to be incredibly aggressive. Aside from watching me, it did nothing. It didn't try to attack or confront me. It ran from me like it was scared or trying to draw me from where it wanted me. This being said, I have never had another encounter with it. I've gone to the same field, taking the same path, expecting to be watched, and have not gotten that feeling of being watched as strongly as that day. Something was out there, and you can't convince me otherwise. I've tried to trick myself into thinking I'm being watched out there, and it still had no comparison between that day. So please, ask if anyone else in this area, anybody listening, anybody reading, if you have any questions or would like to know the answers, I would love to get this off my chest. Anything that I can do to help, I need to know what's in my woods, Jay.
Yeah,
But the Red River Gorge area in Kentucky, let's not forget, there's Bigfoot stuff, there's Glimmerman stuff, there's all kinds of wild stuff people have reported in that area. And we're going to discuss that with Lon some in this interview.
That's right. You mean to tell me you went into battle with an unproven rifle?
Right. That's all that? Ghost in the Darkness?
Yeah. The mag might not have worked because it might have been user error. I mean,
it could have been anything.
Could have been lots of
not
things.
Checking it before and all that stuff. I mean, the whole deal. But I mean, I guess it could have been fey creatures. But what's really funny is it's like that thing heard that little noise there and booked it.
Yeah.
It knows what that noise is.
It knows, dude, it knows when somebody's racking the slide right on the charging handle.
Gotta go.
Well, let's go and take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking with our buddy Lon about strangeness and flying humanoids and other things. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle with ultra-titanium alloy metal. You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, folks. As we alluded to, unless you've been hiding under a rock in a cave or just refuse, flat out refuse to watch good television, then you won't know who this man is. But you should. If you listen to us at all and you own a TV, you're going to know who this fella is. This is our friend, Mr. Lon Strickler. Lon, how are you doing, man?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Yes.
Keeping busy.
We saw everything that you dropped on us on Netflix. It was so great to see you on there. It was so great to see that actually being showcased. And as we were talking off air, you got some pretty good feedback from everything that went down with that episode.
Yeah, they the producers were collecting viewer reports. Of course, you know, when they put it on the show, they give you an email or, you know, to submit a report to them. And now it's been 2 months now since the show first dropped. Mm-hmm. So I've been wondering when they were going to start sending stuff to me, but they sent 130 of them to me yesterday.
Just a pot physical weight to the email.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God. I mean, but most of them are international. So.
And these are new sightings. This is after the episode on Unsolved Mysteries, right? These are brand new.
Yeah, Unsolved Mysteries. See?
Well, and that's the thing is, I think other people have similar sightings. They're afraid to talk about it, and when they see it, like obviously they watched Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, the new season, where they talk about it, then they feel comfortable coming forward. So there's no telling how many of these sightings just go unreported. Me and Cam talk about it on the show all the time. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Not deer, dog man, pale crawler. It doesn't matter. For every sighting that's reported, there's probably 25 that aren't. People don't know where easily. To go. You know, they don't even know where to go.
Yeah, easily. I mean, I have talked to several people over the years about that. I think 10% is pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think there's just a lot of people. Now, look, it's much easier now than what it used to be. You know, with all, you know, the internet and TV and, you know, people, it's kind of mainstream now as opposed to what it used to be. When I first started out back in the 70s, I mean, you didn't even talk about that. Somebody look at you, you say paranormal investigator, they think you're a damn nut. But it's easier now. So,
Yeah. Well, if anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, the new season of Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, the episode that Lon's in is called, what is it, Mothman Revisited.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people that listen to the show are aware of, you know, the tragic event that took place in late fall of 1967 there in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, with the culmination of the collapsing of the Silver Bridge, where I think 46 people died. Two people were never even found. And previous to that, there was lots of sightings of the Mothman, and then it kind of died off. But then out of the blue, in the summer of like 2011, there were three sightings in and around the area of Chicago, and then it kind of went quiet. And then again, it started up in 2017. It was like the beginning of a new flap, and everybody's wondering, what were the people seeing all around the city of Chicago? Is this a precursor to some terrible calamity that just hasn't happened yet? Lon, you are the source for these sightings. I mean, I know no one collects as many stories as you. You even wrote a book about the flap that is in Chicago. And I kind of thought it was over, but you said even as recently as just a couple months ago, there's still reports coming. And tell people about these reports in and around the area of Chicago.
Well, it's continued on. It hasn't been as heavy as previously, but, you know, just like by me getting all these reports from Unsolved Mysteries, there have been a few of them just this summer and in spring that, you know, we didn't know about, and people didn't come forward until they saw the episode and realized, huh, I saw that. And then they're contacting me, or contacting Unsolved Mysteries and contacting me. But other than that, you know, I think in the past year or so, we've probably had 7 or 8 sightings, but it hasn't been as much as we had before. I mean, but people are still seeing it. But now I've got all these reports I've got to work through and talk to witnesses, and because we got all the contact information, which was great. Because I do like to talk to people before I even publish anything. But, in fact, we had a report back in April, a guy just west of Chicago out in the country. He saw this thing 3 times within a year. And he literally took a .44 and took about 9 shots at it. And he said it didn't even phase it.
Yeah, and that's what's so crazy. It's like, you know, doing the show like we have for so long, you're always reading about these waves of things that happen. It's actually pretty cool to be living amongst the actual wave as it's happening. But other than Chicago, are there any other hot spots that you've noticed an uptake in sightings, or is it just mostly held in that area for right now?
Yeah, the upper Midwest, you know, that whole Chicagoland area. Now, we're taking reports like 250 miles radius of Chicago, so we're getting several states. But that's been the hot spot. Now, of course, back in 2017, when we were getting all these reports, and we had about 50 in 2017, 50 reports, I was getting several reports coming out of Pasco County, Florida, in and around Zephyr Hills area of Pasco County. But other than that, you know, we've had one here and there. but nothing compared to what's happening up around the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, and the ones in Florida, they've been calling those gargoyles, or like gargoyle-like sightings, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they describe it as. You know, it's all relative and you know, what people perceive to be. But we've had a lot of the sightings in Chicago. People said they look like gargoyles or the Jeepers Creepers thing, you know, too. I mean, so I guess people kind of associate these things with what they know or pop culture or films or whatever. So it's just like what we, you know, with the Glimmer Man thing, you know. People associate that with the Predator films. So, I mean, it's a way for them to describe something that they don't know what it really is. And that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Are you still getting any reports or have any of the recent ones, if you've looked over, come anywhere near the O'Hare Airport again?
Not recently, but as I'm going through some of those today and people are contacting me on Facebook, there have been several reports in around O'Hare.
That is again. So wild.
So I don't know what's going on. I got one woman who said they had an encounter in one of the parking garages, and there was another one that was in one of the other facilities on the airport property. So I'll have to get into that and see if they, you know, if I can get a hold of them to contact them or if they will come forward with it. And sometimes like pulling teeth with people, but quite frankly, it hasn't been too bad. I mean, you know, and people don't, like I've told you guys before, they don't embellish on these things. They kind of tell you what they saw and, you know, you kind of prod them to see if they're going to embellish on it. But for the most part, it's not been like that.
You can actually still hear the shock in their voice when they kind of go back to try to read it, like they're not real sure.
Yeah. And that's something that's not really common with cryptid reports. People, for whatever reason, they seem to want to make you feel better by telling you something other than what they saw to you know, talk about and to make it sound better. But for those who stick to the story and go into detail right from the beginning, you can kind of tell, especially like you said about emotion and showing certain emotion. Yeah, I mean, you can kind of separate the wheat from the chaff when you get that.
Well, I remember, too, when we were talking last time, is the thing that always with O'Hare that always kind of gets my hair on end is there's been people come forward that work there, and they're so used to seeing something strange, it doesn't even faze them anymore. Like, there's groups of people that work there that are like, we know it's over there. Like, we've seen it over there before several times.
Well, it's not only that. There's a lot that goes on at O'Hare. I mean, for whatever reason, you know, about the cemetery being there. Used to be actually two cemeteries there, and they actually dug the one up. But there is a cemetery still there, and people see a lot of weird stuff, even in the terminals. You know, I told you guys before, I had a one of my attorney's sister works for one of the airliners. She's a supervisor, and she's been kind of putting a bug in my ear for the past several years about her employees coming to her and telling me, you know, telling her what they're seeing, because she supervises a lot of the, for that particular airline, a lot of the cargo. I mean, a lot of the, luggage and stuff, you know, people mm-hmm. work on the tarmac or people that work on unloading the plane. So they tell her, and they see it. But people are scared for the most part now because the powers that be at the airport, they've been threatening people, and they've been doing that for quite a while, trying to get them to stop from reporting all of this. So
that is so wild.
What their motive is, I don't know. I mean, I've got an idea what it is, but actually, yeah, and we hear that from employees all the time.
It'd be terrible because you want to go to your boss with this because you're like, I just saw something I can't explain right over there. Yeah. I don't really want to go work down there this evening. But now I'm going to get in trouble if I go and tell them what I saw. And
I don't know why it is, but because it's at an airport, my mind instantly goes to like the Twilight Zone movie when the thing's on the wing. All I can picture is these flying humanoids. For whatever reason, I want to get on the wing of the fuselage of these airplanes.
I don't know. That was Shatner in that episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. And I remember that still to this day, as being a little kid seeing that. And every time I would fly to New Jersey to stay with my grandparents, I'd be looking out the window, you know, looking for it. Well, when it comes to the description of what people are seeing, can you give people like a brief description? I know that there's variances, but what's the most common thing that people are seeing?
Well, the overall description now is anywhere from 5.5 to 7 foot tall, very, very emaciated, thin humanoid creature. It has arms and legs, but it's dark in color. Sometimes it's shiny, like it's wet, or like it has an exoskeleton or something on it. The wing structure, for the most part, is like a bat-like or membrane wing, gargoyle wing, many times it has the red eyes.
Right.
I'd say 70% of the sightings had the red eyes. And it has a very small head. Sometimes it has like a ray that comes over top of it, or sometimes doesn't, you know. But there are slight variations. And I believe there's a lot of these showing up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just one. In fact, I'm positive it's not just one, because we've had sightings in different parts of the region at the same time.
Right. It's just one interesting fact that I've noticed in several of the sightings is when they see them flying, that the wings are never moving. It's almost like it's a static thing, which is bizarre. Yeah. But what's crazy to me is long before this wave ever started, I've read stories from accounts 50, 60, 70 years ago, different things flying in Europe and places like that. And it's the same phenomenon. It's got wings, but the wings aren't flapping. It's like,
yeah, most of the times they aren't flapping the wings. And if they do, it's only one flap here and one flap there. Very rarely do they see it even ascending after flapping its wings. It just kind of ascends. And there are a lot of supernatural aspects to these things that we just don't understand. But they do have the ability to do a lot of weird things, including manifesting and vanishing suddenly. I got a couple of reports that I looked at today where they actually manifested in people's homes and such.
Oh,
huh. Yeah. And I've had that over the years as well. Mostly international sightings, not necessarily in Chicago, but I got a couple from Chicago area today that I read that occurred inside the home.
Oh, wow. Have you got any? I don't remember. The reading that we've done, I don't ever remember reading that there were a sighting of multiple Mothmen. It's like, I don't remember reading that there's been like groups of three or four sighted together, or like you're walking and they're on the top of a building in a group, like a murder of crows, murder of Mothmen. Like, I don't remember hearing that. It always seems to be solo.
And there've been two of them. We had a sighting off of Montrose Beach out on the lake of some people on a boat who saw two of them literally doing figure eight designs. Figure eight figures in the sky. There was two of them. Then there was a sighting. Some cargo people at O'Hare saw three of them.
Hmm. Wow.
So, but offhand, that's the only ones I can remember where there were multiples.
And there's not many reports of attacks. It's almost like this Mothman, whatever it is, it's just observing, or it wants you to know that it sees you because it's trying to instill fear, or it feeds off the fear. I know there's been accounts of like missing pets, but I don't remember reading any actual like the thing attacked me. But, you know, hey, there's a lot of homeless people. Maybe it's feasting off of them. You would never know. You know, I don't know. It's crazy.
You know, the lack of missing pets has been interesting, because I haven't received one report where it seems like somebody's pet was taken.
Oh, now, really?
Unless it's just not, you know, they just don't realize it, or, you know, but they do seem to want to be seen by certain people.
Right.
I mean, there have been instances where it's happened in a crowd of people and only one or two people see it. And that's happened several times. But many times, just like I remember on the Lakeshore Drive, there was a couple that were walking, an older couple that were walking along Lakeshore Drive, and this thing flew from behind them over top of them and turned its head and looked at them to make sure they were looking at it, and it came back and made sure they saw it again.
It's and just then it showing was gone. Off now.
So
that's just showing
yeah,
off.
Yeah, that's
now.
What I'm saying. It's like it wants you to see it. And
yeah,
that's why to me it feels demonic. Like, I don't know, but that's what it feels like, more than like an extraterrestrial or something from a parallel universe. I'm not saying it's not. But to me, it feels demonic because it likes to instill fear in people, and it's working, and the stories are spreading. Not just Mothman, but your website is phenomenal. It's the best place for this. I mean, we talk about it literally every show.
I love it.
We've spoken with Albert Rosales back in the day, and he had a huge compendium of sightings too, but I don't believe he does it anymore. But so you're the last source. You're the last holdout, and it's fantastic. If you want to learn more about Mothman sightings or anything under the sun, go to Phantoms and Monsters. It's incredible. I know Cam had a couple questions about a different type of cryptid.
And I talked to you about it off air, and it was one of those things that's – I don't even know. I guess we just have to stick with Crawler because that's what they're the closest to. But they don't
– Yeah.
They don't really seem – the reports you get, they don't really seem to move like them quite as much. They're definitely not the same color. And I don't know. They just seem a little different, like a little different with the Mothman. And what I'm talking about are like the brown crawlers. They're tall, lanky, like 8-footers, 120 pounds. But they look like they're like the color of a deer almost the way they are. Mm-hmm. They're like a funny tan. When I think of a pale crawler, I think of like a rake. I think of it down on all fours, where it almost looks like the thing, the strider or whatever, in Dark Crystal. That's what I think about the way these things move. That's not at all what these brown crawlers, whatever, that's not what these things are. Did this just seem to be too kind of a recent thing?
Yeah, and I wrote about a few of them in the Meme Humanoid book I published, but I mean, it's not common. And in fact, you alluded to the post I just did the other day where it was seen in the Red River Gorge area in Kentucky, which, yeah, quite frankly, is an area where there's been a lot of weird stuff going on. And people down there call them Wendigos, which they aren't. But, the description is very similar to the pale crawlers or the crawler humanoids, but they're just brown. Now, why that is, I mean, you know, there does seem to be different variations of these things. What they are, hell, I don't know what they are. Right. I mean, just like a lot of this other stuff I report on or people report to me, I believe either it's an interdimensional, ultra-terrestrial type of being, probably something that's been here for longer than we have, or it's just either coming back or showing up again. I kind of equate the ultra-terrestrials to angels, basically. They're not necessarily like what an extraterrestrial or what we would classify an extraterrestrial, but it's something that is not human, though it knows humans, and seems to be some type of being or energy that has the ability to just come back and show itself and for whatever reason, but we just don't know why.
And they seem to be very comfortable around us.
They don't seem to be too fearful of us.
Yeah.
They just show up.
There's some of the things that we get stories like in the same as you get, and you can tell that they don't want to interact with you. Like a lot of the stuff, yeah, with Bigfoot, you can tell it doesn't want to interact with you. And that's why I'm always leery of the things that do. And when you, yeah, get into that stuff, you're like, okay, it's interacting for a reason. It's getting something out of this. That's like when you pointed out feeling demonic. A lot of it always for me goes back to the Fae. Yeah. It always goes back to that fey realm of whether it's good and evil or however it was described. That's how it feels. Is it feels like they are something slightly, maybe not overly evil, but slightly nefarious that they're up to. They're doing it for their benefit, not ours.
Yeah, it may very well be a connection with Fae or Djinn or something like that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I did an episode about the Djinn last week, and people pointed it out to me that, well, maybe it's something that's related to a lot of the other things people are seeing. Well, that could very well could be. But at this point, we just don't really have any idea what it is. And the Djinn historically, or however you want to call it, seem to be some type of shape-shifting being that likes to mimic humans, just like a lot of other beings that are reported to us. And, we even have Bigfoot that mimic humans. So I don't know, maybe some of these Bigfoot, some of these hairy hominids are actually some type of Djinn-type creature as well.
It could be real. It could be very easily. You think about it, the love that Bigfoot gets, they could easily mimic themselves and slide right into that whole thing.
Yeah.
To get a pass. So aside from Mothman and all the work you've done on that line and all that stuff, what, if you had to put your finger on a couple, what are like a couple of your favorite types of cryptids and unknown creatures that when you just randomly get a story, you're like, oh, I know I'm going to like this one. I like getting updates on this guy here or on this thing here. Like, what's a couple of those that are that way for you?
Well, the Glimmer Man is, you guys are very familiar with that. I mean, I just find that fascinating. I do believe, now this is just my own opinion, though I don't know if other people share it or not, but I think the whole Glimmer Man phenomena and the fact that it was in the movie Predator or something that looked like the movie Predator, I think the people who wrote the original screenplay for that had some type of experience at some point.
One of them had to have had something happen or heard of something happen.
I agree, because I think the paranormal researcher, J. Allen Hynek, his son actually worked on the set of The Predator. And I wonder if
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I read on the – if you Google that, that's what I read. Now, I don't know if it's 100% true, but I heard that the son of J. Allen Hynek worked on the set when they were producing that movie. And I just wonder, having known the director and stuff, did that guy tell him something that his dad told him? I don't know. But we get an awful lot of sightings, and they've seemed to have come in more frequently just in the last 5 years. 5 years ago, we'd get like one, maybe two in a whole year. And now, there's not a month that goes by. And I mean, I don't know what people are seeing, but it's mostly hunters or people out hiking. It's usually out in the woods. Now, there have been accounts of it being indoors, but for the most part, it's outside, which is different than any other type of ghost story or really anything like that. Most people, when they see extraterrestrials, it's always at night. But these things are usually seen in the daytime. And even in the city, we had a story where a guy was, I think it was Seattle or Portland, Oregon, or somewhere up there in the Northwest. And it was during the middle of the day, and he was like on his lunch break, and they had like been driving through this town, and he saw it like in a park. And he tried to get his boss to see it, and the boss was like, I don't see what you're looking at. And he like watched it. So it's just insane.
There's even some of the stories too that are where they've manifested in people's houses and homes, where you get like what people report of a Glimmer Man, like in their room or in their house. And I'm like, wait a minute. Wait, that's the part that I'm like, what's it even doing there?
Well, I had a woman who lives near the Gettysburg battlefield had one in her backyard. We're starting to get them around here too. I had another one down, I forget where it was, down in Maryland somewhere, but it was, so they're getting closer to home.
What can I put out to keep them away? What can I plant? Citronella doesn't keep them away. I need to put something out to keep the Glimmer Man away from my house.
Did you ever see one of the missing 411 Politis's movies with the lady that was bow hunting and saw the Glimmer Man?
I didn't see that.
There's one. I'll have to find out which one it is. I think they're on Amazon or something like that.
It's called The Hunters.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, and it's at the very, very end. They speak where she talks about where she took it with her phone.
Yeah, so there's...
And her husband's like some whiz with cameras. Like that's what he's done his whole life. And he starts breaking down that footage.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you, Lon. But yeah, the woman is bow hunting and she's up in a tree stand and she sees the thing and she tries to take a photograph of it. Of course, the photograph didn't come out, but I want to say it was her grandson was in the band, and the band's marching field where they practice marching and stuff was only like a couple hundred yards from there. And they saw some strange looking orbs.
Are you talking about Bruce Maccabee's wife?
Maybe. Yes. Maybe.
Yeah, Ohio.
Yeah, yes. Ohio. That's where it was. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where, whatever it is, it's right by the high school.
Well, yeah.
Just hanging out.
The marching band that was practicing saw strange orbs of light right in the same woods where the woman was bow hunting.
I often think about how many of them are out in the dark.
I'm just standing in the dark
while I'm walking around out there. You don't like to think about
that? No. Why would I want to think about that?
Right? The Glimmer Man watching you?
You know, we've also noticed an uptick in these not deer sightings.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is very cool. In fact, I just got one sent to me. I need to send to you.
Okay.
But I don't know. It seems like with the telling of the stories on the air, it's making people more aware of it and they're coming forward. We get a lot of sightings of either hunters or someone driving down a country road. And they see what looks like a deer standing on its back legs. But there's always this little caveat to the story is there's always something not right about it. Like it's obviously not just a deer standing on its back legs. There's something off, but they can't quite put their finger on it.
Well, I think the biggest thing that freaks people out the most is it has those predator type eyes that are kind of, instead of being on the side, they're kind of forward looking.
Mm-hmm.
And, that would freak me out if I saw that. I'm driving down the road and see that thing looking at me. So, that seems to be the one aspect of the not deer that does freak people out the most.
It's like something is as close. They think they know what a deer looks like.
Yeah.
And they're 95% right. But it's that last 5% with a not deer. It feels like what they say is the uncanny valley when they start getting into all of the CGI. Is like it's the not deer haven't got over the uncanny valley. Like you got almost all of it, except your eyes and the way you walk. And like that's a dead giveaway.
Mm-hmm.
But what can it be? People have said it was CWD, but we know it's not. Like there's going to be some of the cases, I would say yes. Some of the cases people have probably.
For people that don't know what CWD,
They've seen it. Like I get all that stuff. It's chronic wasting disease.
Right.
And so it just the way it affects whitetail and you know, it's just terrible all the way around. But what they describe isn't CWD. Like it, again, it makes no sense. There's no reason, whatever this thing is, to make itself do that unless it's getting something from your reaction. It's feeding or getting something off the way it is. And obviously they don't have to be close because we've heard some people, well, almost all of them that talk about if they feel anything when they are in and around or witness a not deer is it's always discomfort. Something's not right. Like they, cause you know, you get somewhere like with the Bigfoot where they're like, I felt euphoric. Like I felt okay. Everything was awesome. Then you get some with like the Hat Man or the Dog Man. Yeah. And you're like, I felt danger. But with this thing, they don't ever say that they feel dangerous. You don't read a lot of that. It just like, it's an oppressively strange feeling that seems to be pulling on them when they see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotta be it feels like fae.
People do get a lot of different vibes off those things, but it's not chronic wasting disease. I think a lot of people just assume that's what it is, but if you've seen that, and I know your guys are deer hunters. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it and it's not pretty. I mean, you can definitely tell it's something that's physically or medically wrong with these things. But these not deer are just not like that. They've got human aspects to them that are just weird. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a great point is like, if you see a cow that's sick, mm-hmm. you don't have to be a veterinarian to go, there's something wrong with that cow.
Right.
Right.
Same with a horse, a dog, any pet, anything like that. But like that, you can tell what they have, what these not deer are. It's not like a disease. Like there is something not right.
Yeah.
Just it's the same kind of thing you get whenever we get certain reports from people. Like they talk about the MIBs, right? It's like, oh, mm-hmm. they're real close. The men in black are close, but they were just a little off. Something was just whatever their skin was, like something was a little off. That's what it feels like those not deer are.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you.
There's a large uptick of stories the last couple of years of different things that it's like it shifted. It's like all of a sudden, like, yeah, you still get Bigfoot stories. You're always getting Bigfoot stories. It's got to where they're commonplace. I love them. But it's like, yeah, but what the hell is this Glimmer Man or with the Mothman making the comeback again? You're like, dude, what is going on?
I don't know. I mean, it does seem to run in cycles. Yeah, of course. It used to always be the Bigfoot. I mean, you know, it would be like every day when I do a blog and post things, I had at least one Bigfoot sighting in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just not getting as much of those as I used to. And of course, then the cryptid canine started picking up, and then the winged humanoid phenomena. And then of course we got more recently, the Glimmer Man, the Knot Deer, and the crawler humanoids. You know, being involved with cryptid research and investigations, it's never going to be a moot point. If one stops, there's going to be something else that takes its place. There's just a lot out there we just don't know about.
It feels like it evolves on purpose.
Yeah, it does seem that way sometimes.
It just stays just out of reach. Just on the
edge. I feel like everybody likes a good story. So, like, I think that it'll be perpetually moving forward forever because people like to hear scary stories for whatever reason. And I like the fact that you report on all these strange cryptids other than Bigfoot. For me, Bigfoot's kind of boring. You know, I've been hearing about that since I was a little kid. I was born in the 70s. And so, like, when I hear...
I still love it.
But I see these new things that are popping up, that's when I really start getting interested. And there's no better spot than Phantoms and Monsters. Lon, you do a fantastic job. I know you've written several books already. Are you working on one that hasn't come out yet?
I'm actually working on three of them, but I honestly haven't published one in 2 years. I had all that medical stuff going on, and then I just, you know, I had other things as well, and it got in the way. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't know if I'm going to finish them. If I don't have, you know, it seems all this Chicago stuff and other things have been kind of taking my time up. I may do it, but we'll have to wait and see. I've kind of got parts of three books working right now.
Well, that's nice. That's a good problem to have. Is there anything you want to plug?
Well, I mean, we do have the Phantoms and Monsters Radio, which is on YouTube every Friday night. And, of course, my team, which is the Phantoms and Monsters Fortune Research, we have boots on the ground investigators and researchers throughout North America that do try to talk to witnesses, get boots on the ground if they're available, if we do get an unusual report. So, yeah, we try to keep busy, but I've got some good people working on that team. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's good to be able to bounce stuff off people all the time as well.
Do you think they're going to do more unsolved mysteries? They're going to put you to work more?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I've done other TV shows, but the Netflix Unsolved Mysteries thing was they did a really good job, and they treated us very well.
And it's great to be part of Unsolved Mysteries
because, like I said, as a kid, Unsolved Mysteries was one of my favorite shows, and then to see my buddy Lon,
yes,
one of my favorite bloggers and stuff, to be on that show was really. It was a really cool moment. If anybody listening to this has a story that they want to share with you, where can they send their story?
They just send it to my email, LonStrickler@phantomsandmonsters.com.
Awesome. I will put all that in the show notes. It's Halloween. Lon, thanks for taking the time to come on here and talk to us a few minutes. I hope you have a good Halloween.
You too, and you take care.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
What? One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
The new McCrispy strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy strip dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I love Lon. I love Phantoms and Monsters. It's the best, right?
Like
we mentioned during the interview, Albert Rosales used to be the master of the stories, especially of flying humanoids, right? I remember getting turned on to him like 2013, something like that. And I was blown away that on the internet, he had a compendium over 17,000 flying humanoid stories. Yeah.
Crazy. We got to talk to him. We got to talk to him. Talked to him a lot off air about it.
I think we were the first people to have him on that actually interviewed him.
We might be, yeah.
I don't remember. I might be thinking of a different guest. But yeah, man. And I think since then he's put several of those stories in book form and you can buy them like on Amazon and stuff. But the actual website with all the flying humanoid stories does not exist anymore. He retired. I think he was a sheriff. He worked for he was a sheriff deputy or something in law enforcement, and he was retiring. So now he just hangs out and fishes. You know, good on him.
I'm not hating on him for that.
Yeah, but then Lon is now, you know, he's the leading source for all things cryptid. And that's what I like, because like we mentioned earlier during the interview, is like, I love Bigfoot. I like Sasquatch stories, but I've been hearing about them so long that I am more interested in creepy things like the brown crawler you were talking about there in Kentucky, or Wendigos, or skinwalkers, or not deer. Like, those are the things that really get my interest.
Yeah.
So of course I'm into it. Speaking of things
new, it's just new things.
Something that I'm interested in is also Fae folk.
Heck yeah.
Check this out. It says, my mother passed about 10 years ago now, and she was always spiritual and claimed that she had a connection with her twin sister. I believe that. On her deathbed in the hospital, she had one of those moments of clarity and focus where, despite being on a respirator and pumped full of when the whole family was there, she sat up. She opened her eyes. I looked around the room. And she said she was always going to watch over us, for us not to worry, and that Grandpa, her father, was already there. The dog and cat we had, and her sister, she passed decades before from an allergic reaction. She laid back down, and the doctors and nurses revived her, and later that evening, she passed away in her sleep. About 4 years later, I was walking through a local forest preserve path, cut through the trees on a gravel trail. I had walked this trail numerous times before, so I was familiar. But on this particular day, Cam, something was off. There were no sounds, not the nearby roadway, nor the stream. It was just quiet. I stopped to take it all in. I looked off to the side in the forest, and I swear to you, I saw a 3-foot-tall gnome with a long gray beard and a gnarled wooden staff. A bright red cardinal was on his shoulder. Now, my mother loved cardinals. I felt the warmth come over me and just turned and walked back down the path. That night after dinner, I had a bit of a back pain, so I took some Tylenol and just chilled out. A few hours later, I had a really bad back pain, and I was struggling to breathe. I told my wife, and she drove me to the ER. I checked myself in and ended up with a severe bilateral pulmonologist embolism with about 70% blockage. I spent the night in the ICU being monitored, and in the morning was moved to a regular room when they were confident I was stable after giving me the shot of blood thinner. They kept me another day, so I was sitting in the room and looked out the window, and that's when I saw it, a bright red cardinal just sitting there. Maybe it was my mind playing tricks on me or whatever, but I believe someone or something was watching over me that day, and I didn't know who the tiny man with the cardinal was. Now, Lon points out that some people believe that cardinals are sent from heaven to deliver messages from deceased loved ones or to offer protection, guidance, and love. And as far as gnomes, spiritually, they are said to be deeply connected to the elements of the earth. They represent the essence of nature, often believed to communicate with plants and animals. And as these protectors, they are thought to ward off negative energies and create safe and sacred places. This makes them important figures in various spiritual practices where they are honored for their grounding and nurturing energies. Now, I love gnome stories, and I would love to have an encounter with a gnome.
That's what I want to see.
Right?
That's what I want to see.
You look like a gnome.
I know. That's what I'm going for is Halloween.
Excellent. Excellent. Anyways, very, very cool story. Well, folks, if you have any cool stories you'd like to share with Cam and I, head on over to expandedperspectives@yahoo.com and send us the story. You can also call the show 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD. Also, we're going to be on the Ducks Unlimited podcast this week. If you have any hunting stories or just questions for me and Cam, you can email the Ducks Unlimited show and we'll try to get to it. That email is dupodcasts@ducks.org. That's dupodcasts@ducks.org. I would ask Cam what he's doing the rest of this week,
but
he's going to be with me. So unfortunately, we're not going to be at the home to see the grandkids and stuff with Halloween.
Nope.
They're a little too young for that, or at least mine is. And Luke's too old, so he's not going trick-or-treating, and I don't know what the big ones are going to be doing. You know them. They're never home.
Hopefully
anymore.
Not bothering you.
Well, they won't be bothering me because I'll be states away.
That's right. But, we'll be dropping in to surprise everybody at BlurryCon.
That's exactly right. Yeah, we're going to be there. It's going to be fun. Fun times. If you want to help the show, you can follow us on Patreon. Download the Patreon app at your app store. Search for us. Signing up is easy, and you'll be helping out the show. That's about all the time we have for this week. Happy Halloween, y'all. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.